Now I'll read today's Bible passage. Today's passage is from Mark, chapter 15, verses 16 through 22. Now I'll read. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is, the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off their purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Please allow me to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray and praise your precious name. In this coming week, Lord, we have the opportunity to once again come before you, to be able to praise you and to worship you. And we thank you for this. It's already starting the month of April, and it's a new fiscal year in Japan. At this time of year, there's a lot of students entering school and advancing in school, and people moving around and changing jobs and so on. In these new environments, Lord, we pray that people will be able to know you. We ask, Lord, that you please be with everyone, and that you give a good start to everyone as they begin their new lives this year. We ask that you will provide us with good advice and good encouragement as well. Please provide us with guidance. We're about to hear a message today from Pastor Joey Anjiki. And we thank you in advance for your precious message. Allow us to be able to understand it sufficiently. Please guide our hearts and ears in the way that we can understand you the best. With gratitude, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning, everyone. There was a person who wasn't feeling well, but we thankfully have some medical staff here, and they were able to help her, so we hope you'll be praying for that she'll be feeling better. Today, we're going to be looking at a message from the passage that was read just a moment ago. You may be familiar with Barcelona, Spain, in the Sagrada Familia Cathedral that is there. There may be some people here who have actually gone to see it. And this design was actually done by somebody. Do you know who? It's by the person by the name of Antonio Gaudí, who is a genius architect. This cathedral was made, started to be made in 1882. But after just a period of 1 year, the person designing it actually gave up on it. And so Gaudí was assigned to do it in 1883. He started from scratch and redid the whole thing and started to rebuild this cathedral. However, after the 43rd year of still building it, in 1926, at the age of 74, there was an accident for Gaudí. He was actually walking through the town and he tripped over a stone and was run over by a streetcar and died. The disciples of him wanted to just pass on and continue his work and finish the cathedral. However, there was a problem. They realized that Gaudi hadn't left a single blueprint for them to look at. So his followers and disciples tried to think about what he was doing and create them. Based on their documents, they proceeded, but then there was a civil war in Spain, which delayed it even further. They've used provisional models and one sketch that was left of Gaudi to continue with this, but without specific design and all of the intricacies of this, it's a very difficult project, costing a lot of money. However, there have been people who have been donating to it. And in 1882, even though that's when it started, it's anticipated it would take 300 years to actually finish this project. So it's about halfway now at the 150-year point. You would think out of 150 more years, we'd never be able to see it in our lifetime. And probably not our children as well. Our grandchildren, maybe. Maybe our great-great-grandchildren may be able to see this thing. So that's just the extent of this design that's involved with the cathedral. However, now that computer technology has advanced and the concept of a 3D printer, this has completely changed. And in 2023, the ninth generation designer of this building made the following proclamation. He said that even though it was anticipated 150 years to design it, actually it can take place in just 3 years, so it'll be done in 2026. Due to COVID-19, it was delayed just slightly, but it's now with the prospect that this cathedral will actually be done in our lifetimes. This is something that's taken several generations to actually come to realization. And when you think about something like with that concept, you can think of the concept of the Israelites. The people of Israel, for many, many years, were looking forward to seeing something. And that was the arrival of their Savior. God, as Adam and Eve sinned, promised that there would be a Savior coming. And that is recorded in Genesis 3:15. It's the first statement of the gospel. However, after that, there's been a long period of time where people had to wait for it after the Exodus and Israel and the captivity of Babylon and so on, and Assyria and other incidents that occurred. The people were still waiting for the Savior, and he still didn't come. However, it did come to pass that this prophecy was fulfilled, and that was available to the people who lived at the time of Jesus. They could see it, and they could see the Savior walking on this earth at that time. They were able to see this miracle and were able to see the truth alive in their lifetime. You can see that they were a special chosen people in that way. Some people chose to accept Jesus as their Savior, but others decided to reject him. Jesus then went to the cross. At all times, though, God has been working, and through Jesus' death and resurrection, he was able to realize his plan for a Savior for all people. Today, we're looking at somebody who had a special role in this, and that is the person who took or carried Jesus' cross, a person by the name of Simon from Cyrene. Let's look a little bit at the background of today's passage. Last time, we were seeing how Jesus was under the Roman trial, and that was under Pilate. Pilate realized that Jesus was innocent, but he was fearful of the crowd revolting, and so he actually went along with their desire to have him face the death penalty. Today, we're looking at just how we can be like Simon, the man from Cyrene, looking at three main points. The first point today is how Jesus Christ is the Redeemer. And we're seeing this from the figure of the Roman soldiers. Pilate decreed death over Jesus, and then the soldiers gathered together. And what did they do to him? Looking at verses 17 and 18, it says, they put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns. Purple is the color of a king. And they put on the crown of thorns, and they set it on him. And they called out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews." Again, they struck him on the head, and with a staff, had spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. The Roman soldiers were able to do whatever they wanted to anyone who was given the death penalty. And the Jews were people who were supportive of such a thing. The Roman soldiers spit on Jesus and beat him. It wasn't that they were being violent toward him, but they actually were making fun of him in addition. Based on the Roman soldiers, we can see just how they were actually an example of sin, and how they were bullying and slandering him. In the present day, on the internet, for example, there are examples of such things as well, bullying and slandering. You can see how the people's sin is still prevalent today. At that time, the soldiers took a thorn of crowns and put it on Jesus' head. Thorns in that area are different from those in Japan. This is one that I got when I went to the Mideast, and you can see how there's thorn pieces on it. Larger ones can be actually about a 10 centimeter length, and Jesus was forced to wear something with these on his head. These thorns actually show something to us. You may remember that when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, in Genesis 3:18, it states, the ground will produce thorns and thistles for you. So because the people sinned, the ground began to produce these thorns and thistles. And they actually are a form of judgment against people's sin. Jesus actually had that put on his head and was cursed. From this scene, we can see how Jesus was forced to wear this thorns on his head, and how he was taking all of our sin upon himself, in a sense. From this, we can see how Jesus did this in our place as well. Looking at verse 20, it says, and when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to be crucified. Let's look at the second point today. It is the person who will redeem our past. And this is what we're looking at specifically in Simon, the man from Cyrene. Jesus had to carry his cross up to Golgotha. And in those days, crucifixion was a public experience, and Jesus would have had to go on through the crowds to get to the location. In movies, you may see Jesus being forced to carry something that is already in the form of a cross, but likely at that time, he would have just had to carry the crossbar. If he had carried the entire cross, it would have been too heavy. Just the crossbar alone is said to have weighed about 60 kilograms. Jesus would have carried that and headed toward the cross location. That distance from Pilate's residence to Golgotha is said to be about 700 meters. And in the 14th century, the pilgrims renamed this route with 14 stations. And that is still, this remains today. Anyone who has been to Israel may have actually gone to this location. When Jesus was headed to Golgotha, he would have gone up this specific road. However, along the way, Jesus fell down. He was carrying the cross, but was physically unable to do so. And why that happened was that actually Jesus had already been whipped by the Roman soldiers prior to crucifixion. usually somebody who was to be crucified would be whipped or beaten at the location. But Jesus had already been beaten quite severely during his trial. And that's recorded in verse 15 of Mark 15, where it says he had been flogged and handed over to be crucified. You can see and might know that Roman whipping is very severe, very cruel. They put pebbles and glass shards in the end of this threads, and then they whip prisoners with that. And when they do so, that rips up the skin and flesh off of the prisoners. Why is it that Pilate allowed this to happen during the Jesus trial instead of at the crucifixion location? It's likely that he was hoping that people would just feel sorry for Jesus and realize he was innocent and let them go. He was just hoping Jesus would be able to be released because people would give in. However, that's not what the case was. Jesus was beaten and still had to carry the cross to head to the crucifixion location. And that is why he fell down along the way. The Romans who saw this had to have somebody carry the crossbar in his place. And in that time, the Romans could actually tell anyone to do anything. And so they had to agree to it. The person who was chosen to carry the crossbar is mentioned in verse 21. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, and it says that he was forced to carry the cross. So this person by the name of Simon from Cyrene comes to the stage. Where was Cyrene? It was actually in northern Africa, apparently, in the present-day Libya. In those days, there was a separate Jewish community there. And from there to Jerusalem, it's said to be about a distance of 1,500 kilometers. So Simon would have headed to Jerusalem, possibly not every year because the distance was so far. It's more than likely that he has saved up money to be able to go, finally able to go, and then he went this year. And on the day of the Passover at 9 a.m., he would have gone to the temple to slaughtering of a lamb. However, he got mixed in with this group of people who were taking prisoners to be crucified. He would have seen this man fall down in front of him and how the Roman soldiers telling him to pick up the crossbar and carry it in his place. How would have Simon's faith been at that time, or what would he be thinking? He probably would have thinking he was finally on his way to Jerusalem, his dream to go there, and then now he's being told to carry some, prisoner's crossbar, which would make him spiritually dirty in a sense. He probably would have been offended, likely. However, this person of Simon was experiencing a turning point in his life. If you refer to Mark, the book of Mark, which was written about 30 years after Jesus' time, it actually tells about Simon. And that's in verse 21, where it says how Simon was the father of Alexander and Rufus. So the background of Mark notating this was that he was referring to what had happened on that day and specifically mentioning the brothers Alexander and Rufus, who would have been famous if they were mentioned in such a way. So when the book of Mark was written, it's clear that Alexander and Rufus would have been strong leaders in the church at that time. Simon and his family thereafter actually moved to Rome and were very influential in developing the church there. So Paul actually made note of this as well in Romans. In Romans 16:13, it states, "Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too." So Paul, this is what Paul has written. In other words, he's mentioning Rufus specifically and how he was involved with the church, and also his mother, how he counted as being his mother's too. In other words, he had a good relationship with her. So who was Rufus' mother? Well, it would have been the wife of Simon from Cyrene. And all of this that had taken place after the cross, you can see that Simon's whole family became Christians. When he was carrying the crossbar piece, what would Simon have looked at? Well, he would have been forced to carry it and have forced to follow Jesus. And he would have had to see part of Jesus' crucifixion as well. Prisoners who are crucified, usually under the pain experience, die quite quickly. However, Jesus wasn't the case for him, nor did he was he angry at the people for what they were doing. He was asking God, actually, instead, to forgive them, for they didn't know what they were doing. He prayed in this way, and Simon, possibly in light of this, realized that, oh, this is the true Messiah. And after the resurrection, he would have realized it was true. He would have probably gone back to his family, proclaiming Jesus as a Savior. Then his family, in light of that, would have been saved, moved to Rome, and been influential in the establishment of the Roman Church then. You can see how God was really at work, even in this instance. As for Simon, looking back on that day, it's possible that he would have, you know, been upset first for having to carry a cross of some prisoner on the way to Jerusalem, where he finally got to God. But in reflection, he would have realized that this was actually one of the best things that had happened in his life, because he got to meet the true Savior. So something that was likely one of the worst experiences in his life at first turned out to be the best. For us as well, God often turns negative things in our lives into overwhelming positives. There may be things that are very harsh or difficult or painful that we experience, but when walking with Jesus, we can realize that in looking back on these things, that actually God was doing something amazing and he was at work. I'd like to share the testimony of a man. His name is Sagan, and he has leprosy. And this is Dr. Paul Brandt, a doctor of leprosy. He gave his life working for the Lord. So this man named Sagan, who had leprosy in India, is his testimony that I'll be talking about. When he was young, he came down with leprosy, and he was unable to move his arms anymore. At school, he was mocked by his classmates, and he was actually kicked by bus drivers as well. Even though he had a sufficient mental capacity, he wasn't denied work, and he was even kicked out of the hospital he was in. In this circumstances, he came to meet Dr. Paul Brandt, and he was amazed by this man. He said, "I remember even today that Dr. Brandt was willing to put his hands on my body, which was damaged by ulcers. I had seen many doctors up until that time, but none of them had been willing to touch me. There were only a few. Most of them just wouldn't even want to provide treatment for me. However, Dr. Brand was one of the first who actually was willing to touch me, and it reminded me of just what it felt like to be touched by another human being. I was also impressed that he allowed me to stay at his house. In those days, people of the medical field even feared leprosy." Sagan was able to receive a treatment from Dr. Brand and able to write again, and also able to take on the accounting work of 53 locations for people with leprosy. However, that wasn't the end of his difficulties. For example, when he was watching his daughter get married, he had to watch it from quite a distance away. because he was afraid that his presence at his own daughter's wedding would offend the guests. When looking over his life, you can see there were many hard things he faced. But when he looks on his life, he actually reflects by saying the following. He said, "However, because I came down with leprosy, I can say something that's very positive. Because if I hadn't had leprosy, I would have likely just had a regular life and been a regular guy and pursued wealth and success. In this way, I wouldn't have been able to meet somebody as great as Dr. Brand. And I wouldn't have been able to know Jesus Christ as well. When I think about that, I'm very glad that I actually did get leprosy." The things that happened in his life are maybe similar to those that happen in our lives. And when we look back over our lives, we see a lot of difficult things and painful things. And we think, gosh, if this had only not happened. However, when we follow Jesus, we realize that even the things that have happened in our past that have been difficult are things that at some point in time, when we had wished that they had never happened, actually changed something amazing. Based on this, we can remember and reflect on Simon and what happened in his life and how God can do similar things in ours. I'd like you to remember that from this passage. Let's look at the final point today. It is the cross that we are to bear. In today's passage, Simon is carrying Jesus' passage, and he played that important role in the story. To carry a cross and to follow Jesus is something that Jesus had actually asked his disciples to do for him. In Mark 8:34, it states, "Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take upon the cross and follow me.'" In other words, Jesus was telling anyone who wanted to be a disciple that they would need to carry their cross and follow him. In other words, to become a disciple of Jesus, you have to make some element of sacrifice. For ourselves, to pay a sacrifice and follow Jesus isn't something we need to do to be saved. To be saved is something that is given as a gift just through faith. So it's not that we have to do anything to be saved. However, let's think about this today. Let's think about why it is that we would want to make some sacrifice and carry a cross, in a sense, for Jesus. Well, if you think about it, you can think about what Jesus has done for us to start with and that huge sacrifice that he paid. The sacrifice of Jesus' cross is one that expressed just how much he loved us. And when we realize how much he loved us, we won't even think that something we think is a sacrifice to start with is such a thing. We have the desire to follow him because of that. What exactly does it mean to bear a cross? Well, it's actually showing how we're involved in the process of Jesus' restoration of the world. Jesus is commanded us to help with God's work. To follow him means that we tell other people who don't know about Jesus about him. There are people that only you may be able to reach and to be able to share the gospel with. To be able to share the gospel and the truth about Jesus allows God's work to be come to fulfillment. And that is one of our jobs as Christians. In the various jobs we have various things that we are responsible for. And through our work, we can be the hands and feet of Jesus to reach the world for Christ. In your place of work, you can have this opportunity to make it even better by people coming to know Christ. You can actually allow people to have God's glory expressed through them by allowing them to come to know Jesus. We can strive to enable creation, the plants and animals, to shine in their original glory and essence as well. And that is how we can be used in God's amazing plan. And this is what it means to carry a cross. Just like Simon, the man from Cyrene, we can carry a cross and follow Jesus with joy and follow him as well. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to be able to worship you today. Today, we have looked at what happened after Jesus was sentenced to death and how he experienced the difficult treatment of the Roman soldiers. We see how he took all of our sin upon himself, and in this way, he was able to provide salvation for us. We were able to learn from Simon, the man from Cyrene, and what he did. And we can see how something that at first glance looked like terrible in his life could be changed by God into something that was amazing. When we look over our lives, we may think of instances which we wish something had never happened. However, in God's hands, when we walk with Jesus, we too can have even our past changed into something wonderful. And when we look back on our past, we can actually be grateful for even some of the terrible things that happened. We can realize that how that can have positive impact in our lives, and we thank you for this. We remember how Simon carried Jesus' cross and how we too carry a cross as we live for Christ here. We really have the opportunity, Lord, to serve you, and that is something that can bring us joy. We remember how Jesus gave his life to provide us with salvation. And through this love expressed, Lord, we realize we want to respond to it with joy. Dear Lord, allow us in the coming week, in their new environments that we are in, we ask that you will allow us to be your disciple and to be used for your purposes with joy. We thank you again for this opportunity to serve you and pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now let's pray for a moment together in silence. Please allow me to pray once more. May the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now, this coming week, and forevermore. Amen.